Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, very familiar portion of Scripture. Today I want to talk to you about the power of choice. Somebody said, what? Just hang on, we're going to talk about this. The responding verses will be on the screen behind me. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die.
For God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed leaves together and made themselves coverings.
And then they heard the sound of the Lord
God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Let's pray. Lord God, I just ask today that we talk about this whole idea about the power of choice, and it's such a phenomenal thing. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus for every person today that this message would resonate, not just today, but throughout this week, that would just help us to recognize not only do we have the power of choice, but Lord, the opportunity that we have to really make a stand for you. And God, you're so amazing, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would just guide and direct my words today. Help us, oh God, to be totally dedicated to you and the things that we do and things that we say. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
You can turn this down just a little bit. It's a little bit too loud, and I think it might be a little bit overpowering for folks. Well, it would appear that with the variety of options that we have, that the whole idea about choice isn't anything new or is it anything unique, but the whole idea that I want to present to you today is of the options and choices that are available to us, our lives, it seems that we'd be better and even more productive. And I've got some information for you. Some of it, maybe you do know, some of you, perhaps you don't. But the advances and discoveries and medical scientific breakthroughs that dominate the headlines will lead us to believe that our lives have gotten better. Why? We've got choices. We have options. We have the ability to kind of better our life if we make the right choices or we employ the right options. And all of this is because of our loving and faithful God has given us an irreversible gift called choice, or in some other words, it's called free will. The reason why I went into Genesis chapter 3, I want to tell you what can be the best gift can be the worst. It's an irreversible thing that God has done. There is one thing that God will not take from you: your power to choose. And today I want to just show you some, not only the consequences of that, but also the blessings of that. And start off by asking the usual questions that we get into. First of all, are you content with the choices that you've made since you have given your life to the Lord? Done anything right since then? What? You would think that because we give our life over to Jesus, that our choices would somehow be purified, sanctified, rectified, whatever you want to call it. But something happened in that process. Let's go one further. It says, have you been able to righteously discern when your choices have led you away from the will of God? In other words, you have an option to either go this way or to go that way. And has there been something that's within you that has given you the opportunity to make right choices, and somehow, for some reason, you ignored it? Let me take you to number three, and then we're going to dive into this both with both feet. Have you been able to master the desires that lead you to make wrong choices? There's a word that cannot be replaced, not only in the language that we have, but it cannot be replaced in the whole economy of mankind, is a thing called desire. It started with Adam and Eve, and it won't end until Jesus comes. You can't erase it. You can't deny it. You'll battle with it for the rest of your life. But that's not the bad. Some of you say, well, that's really bad news. Well, maybe not. Let's look into this a little bit further. God has given us an assignment to be fruitful, to subdue, to dominate, to rule on the earth. Genesis 1, 27, 28. This is what the Bible says. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them. And then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over everything that moves on the earth. God has given us a fourfold assignment. And if we were to master, or we were to pay attention to what God gave us in that fourfold assignment, I doubt seriously you'd have time to sin. What? Look at those real quickly. You have a fourfold assignment: to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, and to have dominion. That is a full-time job. But let me break it down for you. Fruitfulness is an opportunity to engage our talents to bring glory to God while blessing other people. I want to tell you that if you're being fruitful and you're not blessing other people, you missed your assignment. It's not about you. It'll never be about me. It'll never be about any one of us that's on this particular planet. Now, isn't it interesting? There are some things that are happening where people have been fruitful or they've even been creative. But the idea behind it is that God wants us to be productive in the things that we do. We find purpose in being fruitful. I know sometimes you say, I just want to lay back. I don't want to do anything today. Well, go ahead. But if you do it many days in a row, we got issue. You have an issue. I mean, sometimes you need to take a break, but some of you have been on a break for a long time. And you produce zero, okay? Rev it up a little bit. I'm going to help you with that. But here's the next part of it. We secure our destiny and our fruitfulness. We trust God to give us what is needed to make things happen. Here's a little statistic for you. There's a young lady, she is 24 years old. And she was part of a team of people they put together and talk about being fruitful or using what God had created. She's 24 years old, and she created a particular device that helps people become productive. It's actually a device that goes on your arm and makes you be able to be productive, pick up heavy things as far as that's concerned to keep you from getting tired. But she helped with a team of scientists and this type of thing. But now she's gone a little bit beyond that. She now is working on a microbiotic plant in micro. I don't even understand this stuff. She's working on something that is smaller than half the size of a human hair. Hello. Of course, my first is, why? But there's something that God can put in the hearts of men that we sometimes don't really know how fruitful we can be if we ever allow God to really take us into an areas where we've never been before. Take it, for instance, I know many of you, if you haven't heard of it, there's this new company on the block called Tesla. Everybody heard about Tesla? The electric car, 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. Goes 200 miles on a charge. If you got an extra $135,000 laying around, you can have one. But the good news is in 2018, they're coming out with a model that'll be around $35,000 you can buy. Save your money. But the deal behind it, what I'm saying is there's things that we haven't really realized yet. God has put the power of us being able to subdue, to have dominion over the earth. And you say, well, where does all this stuff come from? It all comes from God. It's like, oh, I got this real good idea. You know, every good and perfect gift comes from God. We think our imaginations are so great. God gives you the power to do great stuff. So what do you spend all your time getting in trouble? Allow God to make you fruitful I don't want to go into the other aspects, but subdue to me means to overcome obstacles. It means to bring things into alignment with for the good of mankind. It means to harness power. It means to conquer things and to repurpose things. I'm not here to give you an idea on science or technology, but I will tell you this much, that God has put all of these things within the hearts of men. But isn't it amazing, of all the things God gives to us, the one thing he tells us not to do, guess where we go? That tree in the middle of the garden, I wonder what that fruit tastes like. I think I'll make a pie. Yeah, okay. We have dominion, we're to have dominion, to have supreme authority over things on the earth, to rule the animal kingdom. Now there's sometimes we do things that are stupid. Ever done something stupid? Say yes. My wife told me about this one fellow. He decided he wanted to take a selfie with a rattlesnake. It was on TV. The snake bit him. Surprise! And he's now about to lose his hand because he's stupid. See, some things you're not supposed to do. God says subdue animals, not play with them. See, well, I could get off on a tangent. I'm going to try to stay on track. We're supposed to make wise decisions that will lead to a fruitful life that will bring glory to God. The most important decision we will ever make is who we choose to worship. We just had a worship experience here, and I thank God that we have a house we worship in. But you know what? That is a choice that you make every single day of your life, every moment of your life. It's not just here in this particular room. You are worshiping somebody all the time. Wow. I just thought it's when Pastor Paul goes to the piano. Lee picks up his trumpet. You know, Tori starts playing on bass. That's what starts the word. Sorry. Worship is an experience that God wants us to really house within a heart that's surrendered to him. Well, the most important decision we'll ever make is who we worship. Worship gets its power from choice. And you know what's interesting? Regardless of how wonderful the music is or how great the song is, we can choose to disengage and not worship God. That's interesting to me. And before this sermon is over, or this message is over, I think there's some choices we'll have to make. Worship cannot be genuine without free will or choice. And that's what God's trying to teach us. Well, desire is the one thing that will affect all of our choices. Desire. And somebody says, you know what? I'm just not into worship today. I need a break. Really? You know, God wasn't good to you. The breath he gave you this morning wasn't good enough. I need to chill. I'm gonna chill. Okay. But choices are driven by desires. And Adam and Eve made their supreme choice that affected all of mankind while allowing their desires to overrule their obedience. I don't need a show of hands on this one. I already know the answer. We've all done it. Our desire has overruled our obedience. And there's something intriguing about that that attracts us to this, the thing that we're not supposed to do. Our curiosity just kind of overtakes us. Well, what about this? We often make choices and convince ourselves that we are prepared to deal with the consequences that may result. The worst words that will ever come out of your mouth, listen to me, are these words, I don't care. I don't care what happens. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. Those are the worst words that come out of your mouth. And I want to tell you, in most cases, it's a lie. But you have to convince yourself to cross over the edge of desire into the place that you really want to go, the place where you know you should not go. And when Adam and Eve were in the garden, you say it was the serpent's fault. It was not the serpent's fault. You say, what? You're giving the devil a free pass. It was Adam and Eve's fault. Because remember, while this whole dialogue is going between the serpent and Eve, Adam's standing with his arms folded. Wonder what Eve going to do? She's having this conversation. Now, if it was any kind of man, he would have manned up and said, girl, what are you doing? You better shut up. You better get along out of here. Leave that servant alone. But no, he's like, I wonder what she's going to do. We call a lot of people stupid, and we stupid always has an ally or partner. A lot of times, the worst times you got in trouble, did you get in trouble by yourself? No, somebody else helped you. Am I right? Your buddy, your friend. Because usually we need a sidekick. Well, anyway. Knowing consequences before we make choices is not enough to quench the fires of desire. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't need to lay out any particular sin. It all ends up with the same result, with shame and all sort of type of thing. But the issue is this. You can make all kind of laws. You can legislate late stuff. You can put on warnings on TV. I remember when I was a kid, the warnings they put on TV about smoking. You know, cancer and this type of thing. And then later on, they put the real gory ones there with people's half of their bodies missing or their throats gone or some really gory stuff. Did it stop people from smoking? Mm-mm. I don't care. I'm gonna smoke me something. Really? I want to get to the heart of the message, so I'm not going to hopefully not get sidetracked. Desire often makes us numb to consequences. The numbness that we get toward consequences is the enemy telling us, you're different. Oh, they're stupid. You're not. They'll get caught. You won't. Anybody heard that before? Wave your hand at me. Come on. It's time to testify. Yeah, no. The rest of you lying. Anyway. Desire can create the illusion that we have more power and control than we actually do. Desire can override the fact that, dude, you weren't good at this before. Yeah, I know, but this time it's going to be different. Wow. Desire will cause you to cause us to lie to ourselves and others regarding what we believe will happen when we willfully disobey. Let's go into this place called bad choices are often driven by an unwillingness to wait. Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. This is a good place for us to go to because we're going to deal with some things. Now, Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. Let me stop at that particular point. Some of the worst decisions you will make is when you're tired. Amen? And I say to thee, yea, verily, when thou art tired, go to bed. Don't turn on the TV. Don't call one of your friends and say, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, no, go to bed. Go to sleep. Thank you, Jesus. And he said to Jacob, please feed me with that red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. One of the next verses. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. I want to tell you, when you are tired, you are set up for consequences. You are vulnerable. You're at a particular place where the enemy can put things in your way and where you will make decisions that you many times will regret the rest of your life. I'm going to give you another word for being tired in just a moment. And he says, so you say, well, what kind of friend is Jacob when he's going to set me up when I'm tired? And by the way, these guys are brothers. I don't need to see the hands of those of you who have been betrayed by family. A lot of you sitting here. Could have been, you know, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, or you married that person. Okay. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? Ever said that before? I'm going to die if I don't get this. If she ain't my girl, I'm going to die. I can't live another day without him, without her. My life is over. You are alive from the pit of hell. But your mind and desire will tell you that. And you know what? You're stupid because you believe it. And your actions go according to that particular way of thinking. If I don't get that, I'm going to die. Understand. Yes, I do. I see people like you all the time. So he says, but here's the part that's telling. What is this birthright to me? At the time of your vulnerability, you may cash in on the most important things in your life, and I want to tell you, in some cases, they become irreversible. Does it mean God won't save you? No. God will still save you. But there are some things that we will sow in place, will set in place, because desire took over, that you will carry the consequences the rest of your life. Man, I should have stayed home. I know here it is. Yes, you did, because you need to. Let me get to this last little part here. And then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. Going to the next one. I think it's. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. And he ate and drank and arose and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. I won't have to take you very far. You could stop and pause for a moment to that one instance that goes to the very forefront of your mind of a time when you made a decision that you wish you could take back today. Because it's affected the whole course of your life. You know why it's so still and quiet in here? Because the Holy Spirit is bringing us to a place of accountability. But healing is about to come, but we've got to deal with it, folks. Well, Adam knew the consequences was death through his disobedience. But the fact is that bad choices are often fueled by pain. What? Well, I'm not really in any pain. Yes, you are. Pain is not necessarily the form of where you actually feel it in your body, where you're just kind of writhing and you have to take, you know, Excedrin, whatever it is, Tylenol or Percodan or whatever kind of thing you can find, you know, oxycodone. Y'all know the ones. There's one with a P on it. I can't remember what it. Percocet, Percodan, perk you up, perk you down, percolate, you know. Somebody gonna perk you. But the deal is this. They're fueled by pain. And one of the most painful things that we can experience in life is waiting. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because that's the truth. There's nothing more painful than wait. I waited all day long and you didn't call. You didn't show up. I'm dying. Some of you ought to be glad they didn't come. But here's the deal. In that particular scenario with Jacob and Esau, Esau convinced himself that he couldn't make it another step unless he had that food that was in front of him. And it was so important that he would take the most important thing in his life and basically give it away for a bowl of of beans. I had lentil soup for dinner last night, but I didn't sell nothing to get it. I like lentil soup. But my point in saying this is that there's oftentimes we will convince ourselves, I just gotta have it. We start panting and sweating and just vibrating and do all kinds of weird stuff because we believe that we're not going to be okay. I need to hasten through a couple little things, but pain can go beyond our emotions and affect our physical being. It means when desire kicks in to deal with our pain, we often will pursue it knowing that it is the wrong thing to do. I don't need you to vote on this one. I will vote for you. Many cases when that pain is kicked in, we knew ahead of time what the consequences were, but we did it anyway, regardless of consequences, because we felt the pain was too great. Those words, I don't care, are a lie that the devil implants within us. It started in the garden, and it will not be eradicated from us until Jesus comes. Look at this. We will often make a spur-of-the-moment decision that has permanent impact on our life. I got to do something quickly now. Maybe some of you have been into high-pressure situations where somebody's trying to sell you something. They sit you down to this. Oh, sir, if you don't buy today, I can't save you any money. You know how the deal is. You know, you got to put your money in down today. This offer's only good for today. You'll never see anything like this the rest of your life, and blah, 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 blah. You got to sign on the dotted line right here. I know. And they give you this whole spiel, and they look at you. What should we do it? Oh, no, what should we do it? Oh, okay, I'll buy it. Go ahead and laugh, because that's what you did. And then you walked out of the door and you said, what have I done? Or you're driving down the street. What have I done? Yeah. We may seek temporary relief that has lifetime consequences. I need to let that marinate for a moment. I got a few more things to say before I end today. Here's this one. We must learn to be content with God's timetable for the fulfillment of his promises. Somebody say amen. Amen. God's got a timetable. They used to say, you can't hurry God. You just got to learn how to wait. Trust him and give him time no matter how long it takes. He's a God. You can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. It may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. That's what old folks used to say. But as a stupid young person, I'm saying, them folks are silly. Oh, no, you may not come when you want him. I want him here now. Today. He may not come when you want him, but he's never late. Well, we must seek God to make right choices. I think that's pretty much, you know, we must learn to be content with this timetable of fulfillment. But we must realize that we cannot force the hand of God. Amen. Say it louder.
Amen.
A little bit louder.
Amen.
Thank you. I want you to be really convinced on that one. Because we believe we can. Or we believe in divine grace that God can fix all my mess ups. Grace, grace, wonderful grace. Gravy, grace is like gravy over our life. Really? No, it's not. We must realize that we cannot force his hand. Well, that God knows what he promised, and we should realize he is faithful to keep his promises. Let me take you to this next scripture. Sometimes there is pain while you are on your way to your destiny. Psalm 61:2. This is a great, great scripture. Psalm 61:2. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to talk to those people that's sitting in this room right now that feel like you're overwhelmed. I don't know, I can't take it another day, Pastor. If you only have been through what I've been through, if you only know what I know, I just need God to help me. But you know, he says, when my heart's overwhelmed, if you're overwhelmed, it's okay. You're not in sin when you're overwhelmed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But you know what? God can take you to a place that's higher than you are, and he can lead you to a rock that you won't have to fall into failure. Being overwhelmed is not the issue. It's being able to allow God to take you from your overwhelmed position to a place he's prepared for those who will trust in him. God can still lead you in spite of what you're going through at this point. We feel like we're not going to make it. I won't ask for a show of hands on that, but there's some people sitting in this room today says, you know, Pastor, really, I'm on the downward spiral. I don't think I'm going to make it. You know what? The devil wants you to believe that. And as long as you repeat that over and over and over in your mind, he's got you right where he wants you. The next little part I tell you about this, we may think God has forgotten what he said he's going to do. God ain't thinking about you. You got a whole world around you. What are you worried about your little pitiful self? Look, you failed him a few weeks ago, and God is still holding that against you. That's the kind of tapes that play in people's head. There's one other thing you can say about this. Here's one. Abraham allowed doubt to create an Ishmael that changed his life and the lives of others. In your place of doubt, God says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. From your seed, you're going to have, the worlds are going to be blessed. And so he goes to this particular thing. He's going, when's God going to do it? When's God going to do it? And then finally, his wife Sarah says, well, you know, honey, we're getting a little old. Take my handmaiden in there and well, you do what you do. Everything will be fine. Stupid Abraham goes for it. He knew better. But you know what it was? It was the pain of waiting. I should roll that back a little bit. It wasn't so much stupidity. It was the fact of waiting. He says, okay, I'll do this. And he created an Ishmael. Now, let me tell you historically what's happened. A lot of the problems we're having in the Middle East right now, do you know they are descendants from Ishmael? And I'll tell you why. Ishmael came before the promise came. Was it supposed to be that way? No. But because Abraham made a decision, things got reversed the way they're supposed to be. Let me tell you, a lot of times you're going through problems now because of when you made your decision, you went ahead of God, and now you're dealing with the consequences of that decision. You say, what about Iran, Iraq, and those? Honey, I don't have time to give you the history lesson, but I'll tell you, some of the things, the wars we're fighting today, people we're dealing with today, are all because of what Abraham did. He said, really? Yeah. Well, why didn't God stop him? And here's what you say, why doesn't God stop me? Back to the first point of the lesson, free will. Free will. You mean God is going to shrink back and not allow. He's going to honor free will, even when it means it's going to destroy a lot of other people's lives that were totally innocent? Yes. Boy, that's a sobering moment. Our bad choices are influenced by time passing and our thoughts overruling God's promise. Couple of more things and I'm done. God is under no obligation to say what you want to hear. Turn to somebody and say, God's under no obligation. Come on, turn to somebody. To say what you want to hear. Turn to somebody else, tell them the same. God's under no obligation to say what you want to hear. Woo, yeah, somebody got saved right then. Because he's under no obligation to say what you... Stop panting. We often create problems when we should be waiting on God. We create problems. And this means we should keep praising God in the midst of the pain we're going through. What does that mean? Our love for God should increase while we wait on God. But you know what happens? When we're waiting on God, we get frustrated. We boycott. God, I'm going to praise you when I get what I want. Right now, I'm on protest. Our God is an awesome God when he gives me what I want. Yeah. Our love for God should increase while we wait. The devil desires for you to create an alternative that will ruin your life and others as well. Now I got to take you to probably the most familiar, famous book, or actually famous story in the New Testament. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Luke chapter 15, verse 17, just one verse. Story of the prodigal son. Asked his daddy, give me all the stuff. Here we go. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I want to give you, in this particular time, five words that will save your life. You know what they are? When he came to himself. Those five words will save your life. Because right now you're crazy. Oh, say, oh, you don't believe that? Let me tell you the story. The young man comes to his father and says, you know what? You ain't dead yet, and I need an inheritance. Now, by Jewish law, his father could have killed him. But the Jewish law says, your son comes to you ahead of time, take him out, kill him. They're stoning people right and left. Might as well throw a few rocks at him and be fine. But the father divides the inheritance, and the guy says, yes! And he takes off his friends. Do you know why God hasn't given you stuff now? Because of people like the prodigal son. The Bible says he gets around his friends, he wastes his sons with riotous living, you know, people are hanging out with him, and pretty soon he finds himself poor and broke. But here's the realization. And I believe it's going to happen today. When you come to yourself and you'll say to yourself, you know what? This isn't God's fault. I need to go back to God and I need to tell him some stuff about me. You can walk through those doors today a totally free man or woman and get your choices back into alignment if you allow God to do this for you. And let me just tell you a few things that will happen with that. Many of us will find ourselves victim of circumstances that were created by other people. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But the thing that we're talking about is our bad choices. We will have to admit how wrong we were before things will turn around. Got a pride issue? Maybe. God's grace will atone for our sins if you admit that you are wrong. And it's not what you do on the mountain, but rather what you do in the valley of pain and difficulty. Now let me get to the very last scripture, and this is the one that we'll close with. Genesis chapter 30, verses 20, and then 27 through 28. We must embrace God's plan when we suffer loss as a result of someone else's bad choices. Before I read the scripture, I want to tell you that I'm aware that some of you are here today as a result of someone else made a bad choice. Could have been mom, could have been dad, could have been husband, could have been wife, could be an ex-wife, ex-husband, you know, bad kids. I can go through a whole list of things. But it doesn't eliminate God out of the equation. Because the real issue is you suffered loss as a result of someone else making a bad choice. And I want to remove from your heart today the bitterness that says it's not your fault. We know that. But it's how we interpret those circumstances and we allow God to work. God has not forgotten about you, even though you've had people that turned on you and have walked away from you. Somebody say amen. God knows what you've gone through. He hasn't forgotten. And so some of the choices that we make can produce hatred in the hearts of other people toward us. Here's Genesis chapter 37, verses 20, and then 27 to 28. Come therefore, let us kill him and cast him in some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. This story real quickly, and I'm going to be reviewing this in a series I'm going to start in a few weeks. But Joseph was an amazing guy, but there's some flaws in this character that had to be refined, and God refined them. We'll talk about that. But before we can even talk about that, I want to talk about the present day situation. Because of who he was, he had some enemies. His brothers hated him. And they were bent on the idea that we're going to destroy this guy. And we'll see what happens with his dreams. Do you realize there are people that have hated you or have put out a hit on you because they don't want you to succeed? It's not very comforting. So we may ignorantly offend people or cause them to be our enemy. And we find ourselves totally written off by people that should be the closest people to us. And throughout our life, we must choose whether we will become bitter or better. I want to switch some of you from the bitter trail to the better trail. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can work on our behalf, regardless of what people do to us or say to us. And he can cause us to find favor in the midst of the most hostile circumstances. And we will, while we are being held hostage, he can protect us from the schemes of the devil. Somebody believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You are not a victim. You're a victor.
Amen.
Amen. And that being the case, here, let me show you how this works. Being that's the case, well, what does that mean? He can cause us to find favor in the midst of those hostile circumstances. And when we are being held hostage, he'll turn those schemes of the devil around. We must choose to suffer the loss of all things in order to be truly known of Christ. But let's finish the one over in Genesis. So, 27. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hands be put on him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Isn't that lovely? And his brothers listened. The Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Wow. What can I tell you? Other than the fact that some of you are sitting in circumstances that you think you'll never get out of, but I'm going to finish that story for you in just a moment. But Philippians chapter 4, 8 says a couple things before we finish this last scripture. It says, Philippians 4, 8. It says, yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowing the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Well, as the worship team comes back up here, I want to tell you these last few words. We must resolve that whatever choices were made by others to destroy us, God will use to promote us. What does that mean? No matter what you've gone through, God will turn it around for good. This is Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. This is how it looks. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Turn to somebody and tell them, the devil meant it for evil. God's going to turn it around for good.
God's going to turn it around for good.
I I'm going to leave this choice thing. I'll finish it at another time, but I want you to just focus in on these last few words I want to share with you. The whole choice factor and desire has to be resolved. Desire will get you in trouble if you desire anything other than God's will. But even in the midst of the things, when you become a victim of circumstances, God will turn that evil that has been perpetrated against you, he will turn it around for your good. In other words, you have no reason or way of escape, but God is still working on your behalf. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's talk to Jesus about some stuff.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.